everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine, Beale Applied Innovation Center, where we're with Mr. Orange County himself here.
That's right. That you've given me that title.
I've given
Mr.
you that title.
Orange County. Mr. I like
OC.
That title, Mr. Paul Roberts. Welcome, everybody, to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President of the organization. We have for you another great show today. We have another superstar guest with us, Ms. Norma Mora, who's a mortgage loan officer for PRMG. She's also a financial planner. She's also one of our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce ambassadors, and she's a mentor at the Hispanic 100 Foundation, which is one of our partners in the community. Welcome, Norma Mora.
Thank you so much, Sean. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Yes, you know, that and plus more, right? Because, you know, that's just what could fit there, but there's so much more.
Of course.
To talk about. Yeah.
Of course. From my understanding, you're also a mother.
Yes.
Of two.
Two boys.
And you mentioned one of them is in high school. In college?
College already. He's about to be 20.
20 years old. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the two boys, and the other one's in high school or junior?
He is in sixth grade. Middle school.
Middle school,
yeah.
Right? I know when we were growing up, junior high was sixth, seventh, and eighth. And today it goes like kinder through sixth grade. And then junior high is like seventh and eighth. So it's a little bit different, right? It's changed a little bit depending on the district, right?
That's right, yeah.
We'll get into, of course, your career, where you work, what you're about, and of course, the fact that you're one of our superstar ambassadors, which for those of you listening, our ambassadors are part of our chamber, they're members of ours, and they just go above and beyond to volunteer and help out at many of our events. So first and foremost, thank you for volunteering to be one of our ambassadors. What's that been like for you?
You know what? It's been amazing. I've had so many opportunities come my way. Just being part of the chamber and as an ambassador, I've met a lot of great people. Yeah.
It's like one big family.
Absolutely.
We'll get into the Hispanic Chamber family some more. But first and foremost, we like our audience, our viewers, to get to know you as a person, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about yourself, maybe your family or where you grew up, and we'll get into how you got into this career.
Okay, absolutely. So I am from Acapulco, originally born and raised. You know, my family came here when I was 11. I was 11 years old. My dad said, you know what, I don't like this. Let's go back. So we went back.
Wait. Acapulco.
Acapulco.
And your dad wanted to leave Acapulco. Isn't that the place everybody wants to go to today?
Exactly. Exactly.
So it was very different back then.
It was very different back then.
Not as tourist as today.
No, absolutely. Different.
Interesting.
Now, you know, again, we came. My dad said, you know what? I don't know if I'm comfortable here. So we left. But we came back a year and a half later.
Really?
So we came back when I was 13 and I've been here since. So,
wow. Yeah. And your parents, when they came here the first time, do you remember if it was something that was challenging for them? Was it challenging for the family?
So it was the second time around.
Okay.
It was the second time around. It was when my dad got sick. He was the only provider. Well, first of all, I have to say I'm the youngest of 10. So
Whoa. Wait. Did you say 10?
Yeah, 10, yes.
10 personas en la familia?
Yes, absolutely.
And where do you fall in the 10?
The youngest one.
Wait, you're the youngest?
I'm the youngest.
Wow. Absolutely. That's like a lot of follow up, right? So you got a lot of hand-me-downs?
Yes, that's it. I'm the youngest of 10. So, you know, my dad being the sole provider, you know, when he got sick and he couldn't work anymore, some of my siblings, my older ones, were here in the U.S. already. So they thought, you know, my dad's not getting any better. Let's bring the rest of the family over. So we came over because we had no opportunity to stay there, given that, you know, my dad couldn't work anymore.
Wow.
So we came here, my dad got better, and unfortunately now he's passed, he's been gone for over 6 years now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But when he came, you know, he got better, he started working again, and we made our life here, and I've been here since. So that was the struggle that we went through to, you know, get here. And I saw how my sisters and my brothers work hard for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was huge.
Well, you know what's interesting, Norma, is that we're a family of five. My wife, they're a family also of, I think, 9. I still joke with them. I'm like, I'm still getting to know your siblings. I haven't met all of them. And she like laughs about it. We all laugh because the families are so big, right? I mean, they're twice the size of
exactly.
my family.
Yeah.
Many people's stories when you have a large family, and maybe our viewers and our listeners, would understand this. As Latinos, as a Hispanic family, it's very common that the older siblings step into the role mm-hmm. of like mother and father yes. because A, our parents are either busy working day and night, so now they have to help out with babysitting, yep. right? I don't know if that happened to you guys.
That totally did.
Right? And then they also have to work later on to help the family, mm-hmm. right? So I know for me, my older siblings, I've always said like my sister and my older brothers, I looked at them like almost like my parents. Mm-hmm. They were like my modern parents because my dad and my mom were so old school, old fashioned that it's almost like I had my old school parents and then I had my siblings who were like my older brother and sister who were like my younger parents. I don't know if that's something that you went through.
It is something that I went through. Now, my mom was always a stay-at-home mom. She never worked outside of the house. But my oldest sister, she was the one that was, even to this day, I think I have the closest relationship with her because of that. Yeah.
So that was like your modern mother.
Yes.
Like your mentor.
Exactly.
Your, hey, let's get this done. Right?
The example, the one that was always pulling the others, you know, let's do this, let's do that.
And can she can did. We give a shout out to her?
Absolutely.
What's her name?
Absolutely. Her name is Myrna. Myrna, if you're watching, because I did send you the link, so I hope you're watching. Hey, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Absolutely.
You know, that's important, right? That we acknowledge our siblings because there's so much we learn from them. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of five. Oh. And I can surely say that I learned so much from my older brothers and my sister. And so hopefully by the time we're growing up in their footsteps, mm-hmm. we watch what we do, right? Because your mom and dad have already told you, hey, you better not do this, right? Do you feel like having a large family was it a challenge? Was it a good thing?
It was, I came here and I was young, so I had the opportunity to go to school here.
Yes.
Learn the language, learn different ways. They had to go to work.
Yes.
So now
they opened the pavement exactly. for you, basically, yep. right? They paved that road for you.
Yep. They were the ones that were providing for the household. So wow. I'm like, I saw, you know, yes. what they were doing. Getting up early, coming home late, driving people around, all of that.
I could tell you get emotional yes. about it. Wow. It goes to show the love you have for your family, right? And your siblings and what they've done for you. And I think that's beautiful because I almost feel like the segment to this, maybe that's why you're a financial planner today, mm-hmm. right? Maybe that's why you're in the mortgage industry as a loan officer.
Yeah.
And as a loan officer. Because you want to help people, right? Mm-hmm. With all these things. And I think maybe that's part of your passion, right?
It is a huge part of my passion. So I got into the mortgage industry by an opportunity years ago, back in the day where there's a bank that it's no longer even open, but you just had to be open for that opportunity. And slowly I worked my way up and now I'm a loan officer. I saw the opportunity to learn about financial literacy and planning, and you said it, you hit it in the...
There's a reason why I'm the host.
You're absolutely right. I saw the need, you yes. know, that not only my family, but the community needs when it comes to financial literacy. So yes. I got involved in that world and just bringing all that together and now being able to help others with their finances and teach them, you know, providing that education. It's a big piece of it too.
A lot of people listen to financial literacy. Let's kind of go a little bit into that. What is financial literacy? For those, you know, we have sometimes our youth chamber watching the show, listening to the show, or anybody just driving out there, you know, let's share a little bit about that. What does that mean? What does it entail? You know, someone in your position, what are you doing for people or families when it comes to financial literacy? Yeah. If you can go a little bit into that.
Absolutely. Planning ahead, knowing where you stand now, knowing where you want to go and sitting down and actually following the path that you want to go. Because if you want to go, let's say, to the East Coast, but you just take off without knowing, you're probably not going to make it. You got to have a plan. You have to have the road map and somebody that can sit down with you and teach you how to get to where you want to go. That's what it takes. There's so much, I mean, coming again from Mexico, not knowing what the U.S. had to offer. And, you know, I know there's a lot of families out there, too, that still don't know how the financial system works. So learning that and now being able to teach others as well, that has been a huge part of my career. Yeah. And eye-opening, too.
You know, it's interesting. I sit on the superintendent for Santa Ana Community Board. Mm-hmm. I was on their meeting yesterday. And it was interesting. They gave us this project to go over what are some of the things that we want the children in the classroom to learn. This is feedback from community people for the teachers. A lot of the principals of the schools are there in this community meeting. And everybody kind of brainstormed, right? And some of the things that were brought up is obviously entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. learning how to run a business, things like that, that normally maybe we don't learn in school. But financial literacy came up, right? Yeah. That was a very interesting topic, because how do we teach young kids how to build wealth, right? How to invest? Because we're hearing a lot of young people today are investing in, you know, Bitcoin or something, and they make 30,000. I was just sharing the story with them yesterday, and we were at a restaurant at Mimi's Cafe, and the waiter says to me and my friend, who's one of our board members of our chamber, says, "Hey, I made 30,000 on Bitcoin. How do I not get taxed so high on it? Should I move it to like an LLC, a corporation?" And then, you know, it's like an invest. And so we're talking about all that, right? And so how to really make that money, but then invest it, right? Mm-hmm. That's where a financial advisor comes in place, right? How to put a plan in place.
How to put a plan in place. That's correct. And that brings me back to the mortgage side of it too, because I sit with a lot of families that want to purchase a home, and sometimes they're not ready. So having that knowledge, you know, helps me bring it all together for them. Being able to help them, you know, set up a plan so that they can save for the down payment, so that they can be ready with their finances and budget, you know, because they have to think about all those things that sometimes, you know, nobody takes the time to do. So now I can do both, right? I can sit with them and figure out a plan. If you're ready now, let's go. But if you're not, let me show you the way. Mm.
I'm assuming you do a lot of like therapy almost. You're like a therapist.
Yes.
Right? Because when you go into a family home of anyone, probably in general, but especially like Hispanic, Latino families, there's probably a lot of moving parts, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yes.
And there's a lot of like, you have to bring it all together.
Absolutely.
Does that happen?
It does happen. And you mentioned a good point. The mindset, you know, the mindset has to be there, because we're used to the instant gratification a lot of the times, and we want something done now. So we go in and we talk about, okay, well, you know, how do we get there? You know, what is it that you need to do? And therefore setting up a plan and then making the sacrifices, knowing that, you know, you have to tighten the belt sometimes if that's where you want to go. So yeah, a lot of the mindset, a lot of the, you know, strategies and planning and getting the whole family on board too. That's important.
That's very difficult when you're planning that big quinceañera and you want that beautiful dress that's going to cost, I don't know, $1,500 nowadays, right? And the whole party is going to be like 20,000 or I don't know what it is nowadays.
Yeah, or more, yeah.
Right, or more. It's almost like a small wedding. And I bet that's difficult as a financial planner to tell that father or that mother, hey, you know what? You could save a lot of money here, 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 and it can meet your goals to buying your home.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Or investing in whatever it is they want to invest, a piece of land maybe, right?
Yeah. I always think back and I say, I wish my parents knew what I know now. I mean, we came here 30 years ago.
What is that? Share that.
You know, knowing how to plan ahead, how to save. You know, we're used to going to work and spending our money rather than saving our money. You know, most people go to work and spend their money, and whatever, if anything is left, they save it. You know, when we have to think different, we have to go to work, make money, first save, then we spend. Mm-hmm. Just a little switch.
Yeah. Now, the mortgage industry right now, mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. It's picking up a little bit.
Yes.
Right? It's been really tough the last, I don't know, year and a half, I mm-hmm. guess you could say. What's going on? Can you share a little bit about that?
So what is going on with the mortgage? You know, I get asked that question a lot. But the thing is that there's still stuff happening out there. There's still opportunities out there. We just have to, again, think a little different. Do things different than what we're used to. Go the extra mile. Like right now I'm reaching out to a lot of bigger corporations to see how I can be their lender of choice. You know, I'm reaching out not only to the individuals, I'm reaching out to the realtors, to my financial advisors that I work with as well, but also with the consumer direct. I got to go above than what I'm used to. I got to start seeing, you know, the old ways was door knocking. Why not? We got to do that again. There's a lot of social media.
Yes.
A lot of that going on as well, which is great, you know, to put your name out there. But I think we have to go back to the basics. You know, the mortgage industry, yes, I've been in it for over 20 years, so I've seen it go up and down. And the thing is that there's always a way, you know, there's always a way to keep us afloat. We just have to, you know, keep going.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not in the industry that you guys are in, but I attend a lot of events, obviously, in real estate, mortgage, lending, all this. I like to learn different industries, right? Being in the role that I'm in at the chamber, it's important we understand different industries. Because I'm in the healthcare industry, I understand that as a hospice, we can get referrals that are what we call overflow from other areas, mm-hmm. from big corporations. And recently I learned that big banks can also have overflow of business that can go to smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. Because they're so busy, they got so much going on, that if you can build these relationships with these certain banks or local banks, they can give you overflow of business, right?
Yep.
And so it's very interesting how every industry has its differences, but also has its similarities. Are you finding that it's just basically you got to hustle more, just work harder in this tough industry right
now? You got to hustle more. You got to think outside the box. And you got to be open to collaborating too. That's another big one. You mentioned a good point. You know, you got to collaborate with, you know, maybe smaller other banks that have that overflow. You never know. You know, you never know. And that's why it's so good. You know, that's why I love being part of the chamber, because we have a lot of events, a lot of mixers that you meet people that, you know.
Tell them. How good is it? Yeah. Huh?
It's incredible. You never know. I mean, I honestly wouldn't be here today if it wasn't because of the chamber. The recent, I became a loan officer. I started going to networking events. I meet one person. They introduce me to the chamber. Then I get introduced to the mentorship program. Mm-hmm. You know, next thing you know, I'm here.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I know that many of you are listening that are probably either not members or want to be members, or, you know, maybe have been members in the past. We're like one big family, mm-hmm. right? And we try to host different mixers, different events. But as you know, our big Estrella Awards is coming up, our big, you know, gala that's, you know, Disneyland Hotel and 600 plus. I mean, we're almost at 700 people this year, wow. I think. For me, that was my first ever big event I went to through the chamber. And I never forget walking in those doors and seeing like all these like people in tuxedos. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. What's it been for you, the experience? I mean, like going to the
gala it's incredible too. Same thing, you meet people. You meet people, you build relationships, you build connections, and you build your network after all. It's going out there and showing up, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all it takes. You know, you gotta show up and be open to talk to people, to meet that person, you know, say hello to someone new that you haven't met before.
Yeah. I know my wife loves the whole dress and, you know, the whole dressing up is fun, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely.
Us guys, the tuxedos, you know, we're there, right, Paul? We're like, I don't know, right?
I would show up in shorts and a t-shirt if
Paul
I could.
Paul says you'll show up in shorts and a t-shirt. No, you know, I want to say that as an ambassador myself in the past, I want to say thank you because, and shout out to all of our ambassadors, because what our ambassadors do, I've been there, I've done that, is it's a lot of the, you know, hey, do you mind helping out at the door? Do you mind mm-hmm. greeting people? Do you mind yes. at registration helping out? Do you mind helping us set up at the golf tournament, this or that? And it's, you know, it's not always the funnest thing to do because you want to be networking, but it's what helps our events run smoother. And so, you know, kudos to all of our ambassadors. And thank you for being one of our ambassadors because, yes, we hope it opens doors for you guys and you get more networking opportunities, but you're also volunteering.
Yes.
Just like our board, just so everybody knows, our board members are all volunteers. So our ambassadors are volunteers, our board members. So thank you to all those who volunteer to help our organization run smoothly, right? What would you say to somebody for the first time listening that doesn't know about our chamber? What would you say is that's impactful for you? Aside from the business and networking, what do you think?
Aside from calling you?
Yeah, call me, right?
You got to get to know him, yes. I will say that it not only opens doors, but it opens your mind as well. Because, you know, you're used to, and we talked about earlier about how the market is changing. And
yes.
It's constantly changing. You get out there and you meet people. And we've had great turnouts. It's incredible how many people are more open now to mixers, you know. And a lot of people don't know that the mixers are out there. So I will tell them, you know, just try it. Like, go to an event, you know. An invitation, be open to an invitation.
Yes.
That's what I would say. Because, you know, that's the first step.
Yes.
You know, you're open to an invitation, you show up, and then magic happens.
Let's talk a little bit about our mixers, because I think people don't realize that even though the chamber has signature events throughout the year, like our big gala that's coming up, mm-hmm. you know, our golf tournament, right? We have those big events, but our monthly or weekly mixers are free. I mean, they're free networking opportunities. Whether you own a business or whether you work for a business or you're involved with a nonprofit or you're doing a fundraiser for, like, let's say your kid's soccer team. I've had people walk up to me, and one time it was a funny story. We had a toy drive event going on, this is years ago, at the transportation center. And a lady who followed me on social media said, hey, I'm going to be in that area. can I stop by and talk to you about something real quick? And I was like, sure. And we talked, and basically had to do with like a soccer team fundraiser for her kids. And she wanted to see if our members could support and be part of the fundraiser. And I said to her, man, that is great that you're following us on social media. You knew we were going to be here at this venue, and you made the effort to stop by because you're in the area to talk to us about this opportunity to help support you, community. To me, that's what we are about, right?
And that's, yes, we were talking about earlier too. We're a big family.
Yes.
We welcome everybody. We truly do. And you never know how we can help each other. You come in, you meet someone that, you know, this soccer mom or, you know, that she wanted to see what it was about. You never know.
You never know. What is the future plan for Norma Mora? What is it that you're looking for down the way here? I mean, obviously, we hope that the industry is evolving and getting better, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So at the beginning of the year, I told myself, this is my breakthrough year. So
Breakthrough year. Do you do one of those board things that everybody does?
I do, actually.
Okay.
I do.
Is that something you've always done?
I've started doing it about 4 years ago. And I actually also started doing my word for the year.
Okay.
So my word for the year is discipline.
Discipline.
So showing that discipline and keeping up, staying focused and just going forward. Like I told myself, like I've been through a lot. It's been up and down, one thing or another. And this year, I told myself, it's my breakthrough year.
So, breakthrough year.
Breakthrough year.
Oh.
Yes, that's it.
I know the last year and a half, one of the words I've been trying to use more is accountability, right? Being accountable for what you plan or what you hope for. I always watch that video of Denzel Washington, right? That it goes, talks about goals. Okay. And you got to have like a plan. You can't just have goals. What's the plan to hit those goals, right? You see a lot more of that in social media, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's important that we set those standards. What about like as far as like fun stuff? What do you do for fun with your kids and the family?
Yeah, I mean, I like to do a lot of things. We're family oriented. We just had my youngest just turned 12, so we got together and that was exciting. I love reading. I mean, you said fun. That's fun for me. So
reading.
I enjoy reading. Wow. I enjoy reading.
What do you like to read? What kind of books?
A lot of personal growth and personal development.
Do you find those books help you?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
And are you reading it or listening to them like they do now?
I do both. I do both. I read, and then when I'm driving, I listen to podcasts or an audiobook. Yeah, I do both.
Paul just gave you the thumbs up.
She said the magic word, podcast.
Oh, there
podcasts.
You go.
Oh, that's right. Podcast.
Yeah, so I like to read. I like to also cook. I love cooking. You know, that's one of my things.
What's the specialty?
Ooh, I knew you were going to ask that.
My wife was making chile verde the other day, and everybody was giving me a hard time, you know? Because I'm like, come on over. We just made I filmed, you know, pieces of it. What is your specialty?
So I like making my dad's recipe for ceviche.
Ceviche. Yeah,
ceviche capulqueño. Yes.
From Acapulco style.
Acapulco style.
There's so many different ones, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What would you say is a little bit different Acapulco style?
So it's more, there's a lot, and a lot of people say that it looks like a cocktail almost because there's a lot of red sauce, like a lot of tomato sauce.
No way. You know what? I often buy that style of ceviche at La Reina restaurant, Carniceria in Orange. And I love it. It's got it's got like the tomato sauce,
juicy, yes.
Big shrimps,
yes.
and they're like, oh, ceviche. Season. And I'm like, that doesn't look like ceviche. The one next to it looks like ceviche, which is the other regular
more of
ceviche.
A clear, yeah.
Interesting. So you do more that style.
That style, exactly. Yes. But overall, you know that. And I like
Paul, you got to try that one.
Did you tell Norma that in order to come back, she has to bring food?
Paul loves food.
There you go.
Paul loves food.
I'm coming back, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
Bringing us some of the food, she gets to come
she's
back.
She's going to bring back the Acapulco style ceviche.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's a new marketing tool for you.
There you go.
You make it, you take it to clients. With
Show
a little up. Bit of, like, what is it, crackers, right?
Some crackers.
Some tostadas.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, she's making us hungry.
Oh, man, I love ceviche.
So now that one doesn't have as much lemon, right? Because the other ceviche is more, a lot of lemon. This one's more like the sauce, the
more
tomato
sauce. More of the sauce. But however, I mean, to go a little bit into it, the shrimp, I cook it with lemon. So you do get that tangy flavor. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you boil the shrimp?
No. Just
no.
with the
lemon,
with
cooks,
the lemon
it.
Cooks it. Yeah.
Ah, that's interesting, it. Paul. Wow, that sounds really good, Paul.
She's got to bring some.
Paul's like, she got to bring some.
You know, I grew up, this is not crazy, but I grew up in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
There were no Mexican restaurants anywhere. There was no Taco Bell when I was a kid. There was no nothing.
Taco
right?
Bell is not a
I know, but
Mexican
I mean,
restaurant.
But I mean, nothing that even suggested. I didn't know there was anything to do with it. I never had ceviche until I came to California, and I never even heard of it. And I'm amazed how many styles of it
different
there are.
Styles, oh,
yeah.
one of the styles that I know my wife and I love a lot is with pieces of mango in it, the regular ceviche. Yeah. It just gives it like a really different taste. Teresa and Leo from Villa Roma.
She can come on too.
Yes. Teresa and Leo from Villa Roma had like a wine tasting one day, and Leo made his style of ceviche. And we were just like, wow. It was just, it's interesting. It's different. Very different. Mm-hmm. His style. But there's so many styles you can make ceviche, right? It's, it's so that's your passion, cooking.
That's
reading and cooking.
And hiking. I forgot that one too.
Okay.
I enjoy hiking. I like
going. So do you go with the kids and the family? Let's go?
Yes.
Yeah. Where do you guys go?
So there is some local ones in Anaheim that I go to that I like to go. But lately I've been going up to the San Gabriel Valley, like the mountains, San Gabriel Mountains. The river, with the rain we had, it's been beautiful. Yeah.
I got to tell you something about hiking. And I know we're only a few minutes away here. I have found that when we go up to the mountains, our friend has like 40 acres up in like Temecula Valley up there area. It's just so soothing. Mm-hmm. It's like this relief of, you know, just
you
like
enjoy the quiet.
It's like a mental health, like therapy, right? The trees, and it's just so relaxing. Something about the oxygen
about
in the air.
Something about being around nature,
right?
Yes.
Do you find that?
Absolutely. Something about just hearing the water, the river, you know, going, the wind, you know, just being out there breathing the fresh air. Because, you know, it's different than when you're in the city. And
Us city slickers, we're in the city so much. That is so nice to once in a while take a break.
Get out. Mm-hmm.
Right, Paul? He's already giving me the stinky eye, like, hey, you got 5-10 minutes. Well, okay, so we got, you do reading, you do cooking, and you do hiking. Mm-hmm. Now, your kids hopefully will follow in the same footsteps, right, as far as your hobbies. Do you think they might follow the career path that you're following right
now? You know what? I don't know yet. Okay. I don't know yet. My oldest, he's leaning more towards like what his dad does. And my youngest, he's too young to know, but we'll you never know. You never know.
But I'm sure you're always talking about the financial planning.
Oh, he knows. We're getting ready to open a bank account with my youngest. I told him, you know, need to save this much. Now that his birthday just passed, he got some money there.
Let me tell you, those kids' birthday parties, wow. I mean, everybody brings $20 to $40, and they have these stacks of like...
He's ready now.
Like $300-$400. They're like, what do I do with this?
Yes,
and, he knows. And put it in the bank.
Put it in the bank. Let's save it up.
Yeah. Right, and then they come to you. They're like, "Can I order this game?" All right, it comes out of your bank account.
Yes, we actually do that.
Accountability, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's good. Well, I just want to go ahead and say to everybody listening, Norma Mora, who's with us today, of course, is a mortgage loan officer with PRMG. What does PRMG stand for? Is there like an acronym?
Paramount Residential Mortgage Group.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we point. Yes, shout outs to them, right? And the whole team there?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Paramount, it's a great company. It's been around since 2001. So it's been great being a part of the team. Yes.
That's awesome. And then, of course, she's a financial planner, one of our ambassadors at the chamber here. And she's also entering the mentorship program as a mentor for the Hispanic 100 Foundation, which is one of our partners of our chamber in the community. As an ambassador, I encourage you, please, if you know Norma out there, if you see her, ask her, let her know, hey, you know, what's the chamber like? What, you know, what do you enjoy? And have her invite you out to one of our mixers, because that's really what it's about. I mean, we're excited about the big gala coming up, the gala, whatever people want to call it. I think we're going to hit like 700 plus people.
700.
Like 70 tables. I think we're at like 70. It might even be more, which normally, just so you guys know, it's been around 25 years. It used to be a couple hundred people. And I think last year we had like close to 600. So this year for it to hit 700 is just at the Disneyland Hotel. So it's beautiful there, right?
It goes to show what the chamber can do.
Yes, the power of the community.
Absolutely.
And networking. Norma, we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the show and sharing with you a little bit about your family and your career. And anytime you want to come back, we'll bring you back and you can share some more great ideas, especially if you bring Paul.
Yes.
That delicious ceviche.
That's the requirement. If she brings the ceviche, she's in.
I'm in.
She's going to come back and we're going to make the ceviche here.
Oh, there you go. There you it's go. Even better.
Like, she'll bring it already kind of pre-prepped and put it all together and then we'll try it out, right?
That's even better.
What do you
better.
Think, Paul? Look at Paul. Paul's like,
wow.
Paul's like, let's do it.
Let's do it.
There you go. That's it.
Thank you, Norma, for being here.
Thank you, John, for inviting me. I appreciate you for having me over. Yep. Thank you, Paul, as well.
There you go. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Well, there you have it. Another mouth-watering reason. Come back. We're going to try ceviche. And all the other lessons we learned today on our community. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.